Oh, yeah.
I understand. Kathy is having a heart cath tomorrow at Baptist South, and I won't be able to go either. So, well, she's in the hospital at Prattville now, so they'll transfer her by ambulance tomorrow. But yeah, I won't be able to be there, so they'll have to call me and tell me. So you guys keep Miss Noby and Kathy as well in your prayers, and Jennifer and David and all of them, because it's difficult not to be able to be there with them. So, and it's difficult on the patient too. So keep them in your prayers. The Falk family that we were talking about, missionaries to the Philippines, lost mother. What else? Anybody else? Okay. So is Brother Terry cooking and taking care of her? I was just checking. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Well, you know, if they did it all at one time, you might get discounts. You're right. Probably not. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. So those of you that will be looking and viewing electronically, get your kids close to the monitor. We're going to be doing Kids with the King first this morning. We're continuing to look at the wonders of God's creation. And yesterday was the 4th of July, the birthday of our nation. So we're going to be looking at the wonders of God's creation in this land. Verse of Scripture we're going to be looking at is from Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, He is, that is Jesus, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We've talked before that there's enough of the revelation, if you will, of God in His creation that we have no excuse. God is not fully revealed in His creation, but enough of His power is revealed that mankind, if we will simply open our eyes and our ears and observe, we will see the majesty and the glory of God. So we're going to be looking, since I can't take you there, we're going to do the next best thing. We're going to look at some pictures from some of God's great creations. And most of these areas I have been to, so I can attest to the fact that they absolutely do testify to the glory of God. The two pictures at the bottom on the left and the right are giant sequoias. There's just something about a giant sequoia tree, the largest organism, living organism in the world is a giant sequoia tree. You feel like an ant when you're next to those trees. And you would think, okay, this is a rock hard, rock solid tree. But when you get up to it and you touch it, you see the bark is actually soft, almost spongy. It's like a coconut husk, and it's very, very thick. The giant sequoia tree only dispenses its seeds during a forest fire. The way God created it is when forest fires occur and kill out all the undergrowth, then the cones open up and release the little seed, and the new giant sequoias can grow without competition from other other trees or other vegetable matter. So the bottom picture, go back for just a second, the bottom picture is from Arches National Park, a bunch of those kind of arches everywhere, and then the top picture is actually from Gulf State Park. This one should need no introduction. What's that? The Grand Canyon. There is no way that one picture can do justice to the Grand Canyon. Can you imagine being the first person to stand on the rim of the Grand Canyon and look out at that great hole? So the moving water, God carved that with His finger many, many years ago. Next one is Yosemite. Yosemite. Great, great pictures there as well. Next one is Yellowstone. That's probably Kathy's favorite place of all the places we have been. Yellowstone is a place full of the wonders of God's creation, animals and plants, and geothermal. This is a picture of one of the hot springs that you could actually probably boil a potato in. They get so hot. This is one of my favorite places. This is Zion Canyon. All the little mountains and stuff in Zion Canyon are named after places in the Bible. And to me, you can't help but think about God as you walk through Zion Canyon. One of the places is called Angel's Landing. So that's another testimony to the wonders of God. Anybody got any idea where this might be? Orange Beach. Who said Orange Beach? Yeah, that's a picture back toward Gulf State Park. So you don't have to go very far to see the wonders of God's creation. Now, some of you have been with me on this stretch of water right here. This is Coldwater Creek in down near Milton, Florida. You might say, well, that's not as impressive as Yosemite or Yellowstone. Maybe not, but if you get out on this river, it is impressive indeed. So you can still see the wonders of God's creation. Some of you have been to this place too. Where is it? Blue Springs State Park, down in near God's country. This is in Barber County. 58 degree water. So if you're a polar bear, you might like that. But all these are examples of God's creation. So let me encourage you as you go out and about, open your eyes, open your ears, and notice examples of God being magnified in His creation. Your assignment for next Sunday is to send me a picture of some place in God's creation that you have been impressed by the magnitude or the awesomeness of God. It could be somewhere close by. It could be somewhere halfway around the world. So email it to me or send me a text and include that. And we'll compile that for next week. Okay? All right. Brother Michael.
All right. There we go. Now, it is still Patriotic Sunday. You know, we celebrated 4th of July Independence Day yesterday. So let's stand and sing some more patriotic songs. And at this time, really pay attention to these words.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father died, land of the pilgrims bright, from every mountainside, let freedom ring.
And the second.
My native country, the land of the noble free, thy name I love. Author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King.
Take a moment, turn around, wave to everybody, blow a kiss to them or whatever, let them know you're glad to see them today. And you may be seated for just a moment. I'll let you take a load off. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you and praise your name. Thank you for the opportunity of being here together today. Lord, help us not to, help us not to forget how great it is to be able to assemble together in freedom to worship you. Lord, we know that we see examples of your majesty and your power and your glory all around us every day. Help us to keep our eyes open and our ears alert, Lord, and help us also to have our spirits in tune with you so that we may see those wonders of your creation. And then also, Lord, to feel the moving of your spirit to guide and direct us to make the right decisions, to speak a good word in the proper time, to be your salt and your light in the midst of this culture, in the midst of this nation. Father, we are here today because of the sacrifices of so many individuals since the birth of this country. Thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy that have been secured by the blood and the lives of so many men and women throughout generations past. Help us to not esteem this gift and this opportunity so lightly. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to die in our place that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, we surrender this time to you. We pray, Father, that we will honor and glorify you with the words of our mouth, with the songs that we sing, with the attitude of our minds, and with the actions of our lives. Welcome, Lord Jesus, in the person of your Holy Spirit, to receive the praise and worship that you alone are due. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can remain seated. Just promise to sing out for me. We're going to sing Battle Hymn of the Republic. Now, I'm also being nice. We're only doing 3 of the 5 verses, so you don't have to get too tired singing this. But here it goes. Let's sing it all together. Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible Swiss sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Sing. Good job. Now let's stand one more time as we remember our soldiers, one in particular that will be leaving soon, but our soldiers, our first responders. God bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
You may be seated, Brother Larry.
Wow, Michael. I got a lot of time today. So does that mean I can preach longer or I get through early? Whichever. I'm going to set these batteries to the side because I know what's going to happen. They're going to come rolling off right in the middle of the sermon. So I'll put them right there. Hopefully I won't need them. Declaration of Independence. Now, if I said that, you would probably think, I hope, about your history class And about in 1776 when the Declaration of Independence was written. And we are going to talk about that to a certain extent, but that's not the Declaration of Independence that really we're going to be looking at this morning. So join me as we pray. Father, thank you again for this time that we may get together and, Lord, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but we come together in unity to worship you, Lord, because you are worthy of all of our worship. You are God and there is no other. It seems that man, by and large, has forgotten that, that man, through the years, has heaped up some kind of false god. Throughout ages, we've seen examples of man following after idols, golden calves, Ashtoreth poles, and the list goes on and on. And maybe today we're a little more sophisticated. We don't see the golden calves or the totem poles, but yet nonetheless, mankind continues to worship false gods, to be filled with darkness and to be filled with basically the way of Satan. And living in darkness, man has no idea that he's walking along about to fall into a chasm. But Father, if we are yours, if we have been saved, then we have your Spirit living within us. We have the light. We should be walking in the light as you are in the light. And you have called us indeed to be your salt and your light in this culture. And Lord, we confess that this culture, this nation, has come so far away from where we originally were, that we are in desperate need of your Spirit's guidance, your Spirit's power to pull us back out of this chasm that we seemingly have fallen into. So Father, help us as your people, not that we would pray for easy days, but that we would pray for boldness to speak the truth, for faith to live the truth. Father, that we would teach younger people what it is to follow Christ, that we would make a stand even if it looks like we are the only ones standing in the light. That, Father, we will do what you have called us to do. We will do what's right even if no one else will do that. Lord, help us to be used by you, to be willing to be effective instruments in your hand. Open our eyes and our ears spiritually that we might see and hear and do what you're calling us to do. Lord, open our hearts this morning that we might hear your word and hear your truth. May we apply that to our lives each and every day. We continue to ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's look. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, now I don't know about you, but I remember my great-grandfather gave me, when I was, I don't even know how old I was, I was a little kid, a replica of the Declaration of Independence. It was actually rolled up. And I can remember, as a little kid, I thought that was the real Declaration of Independence for a while, because it was so old, you know. But and it was even, you know, looked like in the handwriting you couldn't hardly read. But this text right here is the second paragraph from the Declaration of Independence. Now, to me, the Declaration of Independence is the most important document in the history of this nation. Now, I'll tell you why that is the case. The Constitution is the document that we use to run government, correct? But the Constitution was not the first document. As a matter of fact, the Articles of Confederation preceded the Constitution. But the Declaration of Independence preceded the Articles of Confederation. This document is the birth certificate of the United States of America. And this paragraph, to me, is the heart of that document. We hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, Romans chapter 1 tells us that God's existence is self-evident if you will simply open your eyes and open your ears. The framers of the Declaration of Independence are saying the same thing here. We hold these truths, the truths they're about to tell you, to be self-evident. In other words, you don't have to be a scientist or a scholar to understand the truths we're about to espouse. That all men are created. They didn't happen. It wasn't an accident. They didn't evolve. The truth is self-evident that all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now notice these self-evident truths that are the basis for the foundation of this nation. First of all, that all men are created. We didn't make ourselves. We didn't get here by accident. We didn't evolve from some one-celled organism. We were created by God, equally loved, equally given rights by God. Amen. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Understand this if you don't hear anything else today. The government of the United States or any other government does not give you any rights. The rights you have do not come from the United States of America. The government only exists to restrict your freedoms. The rights you have are given to you at creation by your Creator. The rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So before we go any further, understand this Declaration of Independence is telling you that you are created by God, you are created equal to anybody else, and you are endowed by your Creator with the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's keep going. A few verses of Scripture here. The first one from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to how many people? Any people. Apparently not today. Doesn't look like it. You look at the news, and I try not to because, to be honest, you know, I'm serious. It makes me sick. But you look at some of the news and you start seeing examples of where we read in Scripture that Satan is turning right, wrong, and wrong, right, light, dark, and dark, light. You look and you see these people say, oh, this is what we need to be doing. Where possibly can you come up with the idea that that's okay? Righteousness, God's righteousness, God's standards exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Understand me. We will give an account to God for everything we do or say in the body. Make no mistake, we will. But also understand this, nations are accountable to God. No nation has ever existed on the face of this earth that has not been accountable to God. You think the Allies beat Nazi Germany in World War II? No. God brought about the downfall. Rome. Was Rome defeated by barbarians or any other nation? No. God brought them down. Every empire that has ever been in existence on the face of the earth must give an account to God. God raises up rulers and He sets them down. He has done it. He does it today and He will continue to do it until Jesus Christ returns. Those nations that honor God, God will bless. Those that thumb their nose in God's face will pay the penalty for that, including the United States of America. Psalm 33. The counsel of the Lord stands how long? Forever. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Period. The people He has chosen as His own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. God knows what's going on. He doesn't have to watch Fox News or CNN. He knows. He knows what is in the heart of man. Now, we don't always know. We can have the wool pulled over our eyes. But God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whether he is a beggar on the street or in a powerful office, doesn't matter. Because God is not impressed by who we are. God is not impressed by our bank account. He is not impressed by the educational degrees. He's not impressed by our athletic prowess, military might, or anything else. The only thing I've seen in Scripture that God is impressed by is faith. Faith. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people He has chosen as His own inheritance. Now, I believe with all my heart that God's hand has been on this nation since its inception. But I also will tell you, the way we are going, His hand will be removed if it hasn't already been. We see examples of Israel throughout the Old Testament. When they were obedient, when they were following after God, God blessed them. But when they turned away, God sent judgment. Don't think He can't and won't do the same thing with this nation. Let's keep going. John 8, chapter 8, verses 34 through 36 say this, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." The true declaration of independence is right here. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are a slave. There's been a lot of talk about slavery. Now, slavery still exists. Slavery is not just a thing of the past. Slavery still exists. People are sold into slavery every day somewhere in the world. Some of the missing people, even in this nation, have been kidnapped and sold into slavery. Don't make any mistake about it. It still exists. It's just not in the open like it might have been a couple hundred years ago. But whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are free from the power of sin, from the power of Satan, from the penalty of that sin as well. We are freed to be all that He has called us to be. Free only in Christ Jesus. So let's look at some things today. First of all, this Declaration of Independence is the conception, if you will, or the birth, really, of this nation. And it says, we were created by God, we're conceived in liberty. Well, the truth is, we were conceived in liberty irrespective of the Declaration of Independence in 1776, because you and I were created from the time of conception. We are created by God for a relationship with Him. We were created by God. You were created by God. You were designed by God for freedom in Christ Jesus. Now, if you've been, if you have been a student of biology, you probably had a little bit of genetics. And you know, you've heard the term DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, big old long word. And, okay, what is all that about? Well, basically, the DNA is a blueprint. You guys know what a blueprint is. Before you build a house, you have a plan of what the house is going to look like. Before you build, even in my line of work, in control engineering, before we design a control system, there is a plan put down on paper of what that control system is going to look like, and there is a plan put down on paper of what the logic in the control system is going to look like. So we have a plan, and then we design that control system to match that plan. Well, the DNA is God's blueprint for you, and it is unique. Nobody else that has ever existed, nobody that exists today or that will exist in the future, has the same plan as you. God created that blueprint with in the first cell when you became a living being. And every cell that has multiplied countless times since conception contains God's same blueprint for you. Until the day you die, you will carry God's blueprint in your genetic makeup. But even beyond that, God created you and me to be with Him. God has always had a plan for you. There is nobody who has ever been created that was an accident that God didn't know. Ooh, I didn't know that person was going to exist. God knew it. And God has a plan for you. You might think, well, some people are deformed and disabled and mentally retarded or whatever the case might be. You know, but God still has a plan. God did not, oops, I didn't know that was going to happen. God knew it was going to happen, and God has a plan. Now, I can't tell you in every case what God's plan is. I probably can't tell you in most cases what His plans are, because I'm not God. But I can tell you based on His Word, God has a plan. And the best thing we can do is follow that plan to the best that we can. This nation is also conceived in liberty, and not without the knowledge of God. It didn't happen without His knowledge. It didn't happen without His help. This nation came close many times to never existing, but except for divine intervention. This nation was conceived in liberty and done so at great cost. You know, the end of the Declaration, the framers, the signers said, you know, we pledge our lives, our liberty, our sacred everything, our fortunes, everything. And most of them lost everything. The cost was high, and yet they were willing to pay the cost. But here, I hope, is not a wake-up call, but it may be for some people. This nation was conceived in liberty at great cost, but it requires continual maintenance. It requires continual maintenance. We cannot just rest on the laurels of our grandparents or great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents. You know, I think about the sacrifice. What really pops into my mind is World War II. How much sacrifice, how many lives were laid down during the years of World War II to make sure that we continued to have freedom, or else we'd all be speaking German today. Think about it for a moment. Think about if you were an 18 or 19-year-old man, young boy really, you get off a troop transport, climb down a cargo net into a landing craft that's tossing to and fro in the English Channel, and a horrendous bombardment is going on over your head, and you know when that ramp drops on the front of that landing craft, you're going to be facing a German army that is bound and going to do everything they can to kill you before you set foot on the sand. And a lot of them gave their lives before they ever set foot on the sand. What makes a man do that? Why would they sacrifice in the face of almost certain death? Why would they sacrifice such? Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their lives for their friends. Are you willing to lay down your life to make sure this nation continues in the freedoms that we have enjoyed? This nation, I believe, now this is my belief, our nation is a crossroads, probably more so than we have ever been. Now, we've been heading down this path for a while, but we are fast approaching a turning point. And if we don't turn this ship around, it's going to go over the edge. We don't see any evidence of the United States in prophecy. What does that mean? I don't know. Does it mean this nation's not going to exist? That may be what it means. But I can promise you that as the church, we are tasked to maintain the salt and the light until He returns. So if this nation goes over the edge, the church is going to go over the edge with it. But we need to be, if when we go over the edge, we need to be still being His salt and His light. You look at some of the things you've seen on TV and you just shake your head like, how can people even think these things? Well, they only think them, they're doing them, and they're trying to make it the norm. All that's required for wickedness to abound is for good people to do nothing. We need to stand up and be counted. Secondly, God has freed us from the power of sin. You see, sin has power. Sin has power to kill. Now, Adam and Eve thought, you know, the fruit looks pretty good. It smells good. I bet it would taste great. Yeah, I know God said, but there's another one of those big buts that'll kill you. I know God said, but it won't hurt. God will understand if I just do. Well, yeah, He understands. The problem is we don't understand. You see, sin enslaves. Once you become a sinner, and we're all sinners, right? Once you become a sinner, you are enslaved to the power of sin. Satan is a slave master. You want to know who's in the slave trade? His name is Lucifer. Satan is the master of slavery. We become enslaved to sin because sin has one purpose. Scripture tells us Satan has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is not about your best interest. He is not about trying to help you out. He's about taking everything you have, including your future, and killing you. That's what he's about. And he's doing a jam-up job in this nation. A jam-up job. You take God out of everything, guess who fills that void? Satan. Now, he's not going to call himself Satan. He's going to call himself something else because he's the deceiver. God's going to tell you who he is. Jesus is going to tell you who he is, but Satan may use any number of names. When you go fishing, you go by and you get your tackle, and you go get crickets, or you go get some wigglers or some red worms, and you put them on the hook, and you throw them out there, and a fish comes by. And he looks at, maybe he smells it, I don't know. But he somehow senses the cricket or the worm, and he thinks, man, that looks good. And he takes a bite. And what happens? You got supper. To the fish, everything looked good. Everything looked great. Man, this is what I need. And when he bites it, it's too late then. He's hooked. And in he comes. Satan does the same thing today. It all looks great. It sounds good. Just give me a little bite of that. And then too late, we realize that we're a slave to sin. And sin, when it has given birth, gives rise to death. It's not a case of it might. It probably will. One of these days, it will lead to death. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, God gives you life twice. Really. He gives you life at conception. When he creates you, boom, he gives you life. We bring death when we sin. But then Jesus Christ brings life again when we receive his gift. Receive him as Lord and Savior. He gives new life. Redeemed life. The life and the life more abundantly. Because true life only comes from and in Jesus Christ. Now the culture don't like to hear that. They're going to jump up and down and stomp and turn, you know, stand on their head, throw things down, burn stuff up, bust windows. Oh no, it can't be that way. Well, why can't it be that way? I didn't say it. God said it. Just because you don't like something does not mean it's not true, does it? How many times have you taken a test knowing that answer was right and it comes back with a red X on it? People get the results of medical tests back all the time that they don't like. They may choose to ignore it. Some of them do. Choose to ignore it. But does that mean it's not true? Doesn't mean that, does it? Just because we don't like the idea of something does not mean it's not true. I learned at a very young age that just because I wanted something did not mean I was going to get it. Did not mean I was entitled to it. And you ain't got to say this, but I bet you probably did the same thing. I bet sometime in your life you told your mom or dad, this is not fair. And you know what my dad told me? Life is not fair. If life was fair, you know what we would all get? Hell. But Jesus came not to make life fair, but to give us life. And life more abundantly. You see, freedom is not the freedom to go start raving mad and sin and do whatever you want to do. Freedom is the freedom to be what Jesus Christ is calling you to be. Because you can't do that without the freedom in Christ. We can't be good. We can't do good enough. We can't be the church because we don't have the freedom except in Christ Jesus. If you're trying to live a quote-unquote good life in your own power, you're not going to succeed. Now, you might do okay for a little while, but you're not going to succeed because none of us can, because we don't have the power, nor do we have the freedom. Because if we don't know Jesus Christ, we are still a slave to sin. In your life, in our hearts, in the seat of who we are, there can only be one ruler. There can only be one ruler. and it will either be Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in you, or it will be Satan. That's the only two options. Now, you might say, well, I'm my own man. Well, that means you think you're sitting on the throne, but you're not. Satan is. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And the freedom that is only found in Jesus Christ enables us to be who He has called us to be. Thirdly, all this is great, but if you're not empowered, what you going to do? But we are empowered. Now, yesterday, we were out on a search and rescue in the hot part of the day. But they called us at lunchtime, and it was probably 2 or 3 o'clock when we got through, so it was horribly hot. And we'd been out there for, like I said, a couple of hours, and it was super hot. And so Command sent one of the Kawasaki mules down the trail where we were at so we wouldn't have to walk all the way back to Command. We'd already finished our search. And so in a little bit, here comes this brand new Kawasaki mule that Pine Level Fire Department just got it. So it comes down the trail, and we pile on, glad we ain't got to walk all the way back in the super heat. And we start coming back. We get about halfway back to Command, and the mule starts doing like that. And the fireman driving it said, this is brand new. It's the first time we even took it off the truck. What's wrong with this thing? It was overheating. A brand new mule. So I'm saying, well, maybe the coolant is extra. You don't get the coolant when you buy the new mule. I don't know, but you know, thankfully it limped back to command. But the point is, you know, just because we think we're supposed to have the power don't mean we do. You know, he pulled that new mule out off the trailer thinking everything's good. Well, I guess he didn't check the coolant. I don't know, but and you would think you wouldn't have to, but everything wasn't there it needed. But we have everything we need if we have Christ Jesus. Because we are empowered then by His Spirit to do what He's calling us to do. You know, you go out there and you turn your key over and nothing happens. You know, you may have a brand new vehicle, but if that battery's dead, what's going to happen when you turn that switch? Nothing. You've got to have the power. The power comes from the Spirit of Christ living in us. We are empowered by His Spirit to live, to walk daily, to talk, and to love as He does. Because you don't have it, I don't have it in myself to be able to do that. But we have the Spirit of Christ as we yield to Him in us, empowering us to do what He is calling us to do. We are empowered to be His salt and His light. And this world needs that. Now the trouble is, the world don't know that it needs it. The world don't think that it needs it. And the world probably don't want it. So you're not going to be received well. Just let me tell you in advance, you're not going to be received very well. But that's okay. Because I'd a lot rather hear Jesus Christ say, well done, good and faithful servant, than to have the approval of man. Amen? So don't strive for the approval of man. Strive for the approval of Christ. Amen? Because man's approval is going to wax and wane. They might love you today and hate you tomorrow. Jesus will love you forever, and His approval is the only one that's going to matter. Amen? All right. So make sure that you are striving for that approval and that you are allowing His Spirit in you, giving Him. See, the problem is we can ask Him to save us, but not let Him be Lord. Now, you might say, what's the difference? Well, we allow Him to save us, confess our sins to Him, and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, and He'll do that. But then sometimes we don't want to give up the control. And there's this tug of war going on. Because Jesus wants control, because He wants to bless us, He wants to guide us, He wants us to be doing what He's called us to do. And if we're trying to do our own thing over here, there's this tug of war going on. And truth be told, we're not going to be very happy until we yield control of our life to Jesus Christ. So we're empowered by His Spirit to do the things that he calls us to do. I have seen churches many times, especially small churches, who have done things that I knew they were not capable of doing. They didn't have enough talented people or enough money or anything like that in that church to do what they were doing. So then how did they accomplish that? By the power of God's Spirit. I've shared before about a small church I was at that we needed a van. You know, we were having to get a bunch of folks' vehicles together to carry kids different places, and we needed a van. But the church couldn't afford a van. And one afternoon, this guy who I still have not said his name, because he said I better not ever tell people who gave the van to the church. So he called me. He said, come over to my house. I got something I want to show you. And when I pulled up in the yard, there was a high-top van that said Mitch Chapel Baptist Church. And he said, he handed me the keys, and he said, you better not ever tell anybody where this came from. And to this day, I haven't, because it came from God, so it came from. The church wasn't able, but God provided it. God empowers us to do what he's called us to do. We are also empowered by the Declaration of Independence that I alluded to earlier. We are empowered by that document to make changes in our nation. You don't have to sit back and let the nation go down the tubes, because you are empowered to make a difference by that document as well. Now, even beyond that, and more importantly than that document, we're empowered by Christ to be his salt and be his light. If you want to see this nation be different, then you need to be different in this nation. You got to make a difference in your family. You got to make a difference in your community, in your work, in your school, wherever it is. They need to see Christ in you. Now, they may not like it. You may get persecuted. The day is not far away that we will be undergoing persecution. But they need to see Christ in you. Do your classmates, do your co-workers, do the people you meet on the street, do they know that you know Jesus? What is different about your life? What's different about your talk? What's different about where you spend your money? What's different about where you spend your time? The people you hang out with, the places you go. Everything in our life ought to scream Jesus Christ. What is the most important thing in your life? Now, you can yell and scream all the time, but I'm going to tell you what's going to show me where you spend your time, where you spend your money, and what you're thinking about all the time. Those three things are going to tell me what's really number one in your life. We're in an election year, obviously. And you got politicians around every time you turn around. Have you ever noticed that a politician will tell you anything? So now, there may be some exceptions. But a politician will tell you all kinds of stuff. But if you pay attention, especially a politician that's been a politician for a long time, they'll talk for 15 minutes, and when they get through, you won't still have your answer. They won't have told you anything. We want this nation to change. We got to be the change. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says this, God speaking to his people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Friends, this land is in critical condition. It is in ICU. And if we don't exercise 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's going to die. I have no doubt. This nation, now I don't know if it's going to take 4 years or 4 months. But if this nation doesn't turn around, our children and our grandchildren are going to inherit anarchy. We're not far from it. And that's what Satan is all about. I'm gonna be honest with you. I have watched some of the things. I try not to watch much of the news, but I'll get on the web sometimes to check out some of the headlines. And I've been watching some of these riots and folks tearing down statues and defacing property and busting out windows and burning people's cars. And I'm like, where does that come from? What are you accomplishing? You're not helping the situation. You are sowing chaos. You are sowing anarchy. And then it dawns on me, that's because they are being led by their father, the devil. He is a deceiver. And he is deceiving individuals. And he is saying light is dark, dark is light, right is wrong, and wrong is right. And they're buying into it lock, stock, and barrel. And then when they turn around, it's going to be too late. You want freedom? You're only going to find it in Christ. You want peace? It's only going to be in Christ Jesus. You want life? It's only in Christ. You getting the picture here? It's all in Christ Jesus. Government's not going to give it to you because they don't have it. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, because the world doesn't have it. You want peace, it's got to come from Christ. That's not popular. Because a lot of people live a lifestyle that are contrary to God's word. They don't want to hear it. They'd rather destroy everything than to change their lives. Well, we got a choice to make. We must not shy away from engaging the culture. We must not concede our future, our children's future, and our grandchildren's future to the way of man. The church is only one generation away at any time from being gone. How are the young people going to know about Christ? They've got to be taught. They've got to be taught. They've got to see Him demonstrated. Here's your compass point. If we're going to stop the downward spiral, then we've got to be His salt and His light. Now, if you get salt in a cut, what happens? It burns. So the culture's not going to like it. But we're going to have to make a choice. Is the mountain worth dying on? We got to be willing to fight the battle. We're told in Ephesians to put on the armor of God. You only put on armor for one purpose, to go to battle. You don't put on armor to wear around the house. You put on the armor to fight. We need to be willing to do that. Our children are worth it. Our grandchildren are worth it. The sacrifice of so many individuals before us make it worth it. We've got to honor their memory as well and their sacrifice. We need to be the salt and light that He's calling us to be. We got to be before we can do. Amen. We've got to be that way. We got to speak that truth. We got to live that truth. We got to vote that truth. We got to spend our money along those same lines. Every influence you've got to show people that you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Are you walking with Him? Are you willing to follow Him? Because the path that He's leading on is the only path that's going to lead to life and to light and to peace. It may look like the rest of the world is not following, but you make sure you are on that path and you are following Him. I hope this nation is going to be around another 250 years. But if it doesn't change, it's not going to be around 25. Our choice. He's calling. Will we respond? Father, thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you for this nation. Help us to be willing to be the salt and light that you've called us to be. Father, whatever you've laid on our hearts and our minds, our spirits, Father, help us to respond to you even now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand, please? The altar is open. Thank you for your time, your attendance today. Don't forget to be praying for those of our family of faith who are sick or who may be traveling. Miss Nobie's surgery Monday, Kathy's heart cath as well. And when's your brother's surgery? It's August. August, okay. All right. Don't forget your offering. You can drop it in the little basket on the right as you go out. Anything else we need to hear? Right.
It's not too late still to apply for absentee ballots in your county. July 9th is the deadline to apply for an absentee ballot.
Okay. Thank you for that reminder.
Three very important races on that.
Put on a mask and go to the polling place and
vote.
That's right. That's what I'm going to be doing. Yes, that's right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's right. It sure is. Anybody else? Amen. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Okay. I'm sorry. How old was she? 97. Wow. Amen. All right. Okay. Okay. Amen. All right. Michael.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, all together. Sing it out. And glory, glory, hallelujah.